Hey everyone, it's Rita here. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that our brand new podcast, Sanderton Fancast, is now live. If you're interested in watching season two along with me and Michelle, and I know you are, then there is a link to the full first episode in our show notes. We hope you guys subscribe and listen along to us have an absolute meltdown. If you want a little taste of what we're bringing to the table, here's the first 10 minutes of this first podcast. Enjoy! Hi, welcome to the first ever Sanderton Fancast. We're a fan-created podcast about the masterpiece slash BritBox show, Sanderton. Now, we're an after show, so after watching the episode, you can put us on and we will discuss and overanalyze every single detail of the episode, one at an excruciating time.
But before we start, I realize this might be the first time you're listening to one of our podcasts. So, hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We should introduce ourselves. I'm Michelle. I live in the States. And you can find me at Musings on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm Rita. I live in England. And I'm at Annoying Rita on Instagram and Twitter. And if you end up enjoying the podcast, then please remember to subscribe and to rate us. We will be coming out with new podcasts every week. If you could give us a review, we would really appreciate that, because as we said, this is a new podcast and we would love to grow an audience with us.
Episode 1 of season 2 was written by Andrew Davies and Justin Young and was directed by Charles Sturridge, who directed the last two episodes of season 1 and the first 3 episodes of this season. So there's a nice bridge across the seasons in that respect. And Sturridge is most famous for directing the iconic 1980s version of Brideshead Revisited, starring Jeremy Irons, which went on to win over 17 awards, including 2 Golden Globes. So he is very much a respected figure in British television. And as with the writer Andrew Davies, period dramas are very much in his wheelhouse. We should be in safe hands for the next episodes.
Okay, so we usually start our podcast with a recap. This one's pretty lengthy, so strap in. Okay, the season began in Antigua with the death and then burial of Sidney Parker, R.I.P. And then cut to Mary arriving at Willington in full mourning to break the news to Charlotte, who's mid-jig, no less. Charlotte breaks down in tears and they embrace. After the credits, we're introduced to 2 new characters, Augusta, a very beautiful if persistently grumpy teenage girl, and little Leo, who turns out to be 9 years old, but she looked way younger to me. Leo is dressed in an old army red coat uniform and saluting a regiment as they march past them and into Sanderton.
In town, Georgiana Lamb tells a potential suitor that she may admire his carriage, but would rather be boiled alive than marry him. I like her style. This gets her into trouble with her new guardians, Tom and Mary Parker, who decide that Georgiana needs a friend and companion following Sydney's death, and they have written to Charlotte and her sister, Allison, inviting them to stay with them for the summer. Allison and Charlotte arrive in Sanderton, and while the former is buzzing with excitement, there is an air of melancholy about Charlotte as she arrives back at the Parker house and sees Sydney's really terrible portrait. It's bad. She passes on her condolences to the family, but also expresses her confusion that Sydney was even in Antigua in the first place. You and everybody else, hon. Tom tells her that they are having Sydney's possessions shipped back in the hopes of finding out what he was doing, and he expresses how thankful he is that Sydney was able to be with his wife, Eliza, before his death. The dunderhead. He is oblivious that Sydney made such a huge sacrifice for him. And that should be interesting when the penny drops, because you know it's gonna.
So it turns out that Georgiana is now living with Reverend Hankins and his sister, and she's having about as much fun as you would expect in that situation. Across town, Tom is showing the Haywood sisters the brand new stonking set for Sanderton. He casually drops that Mr. Stringer, aka that annoying K-drama second lead that pined after Charlotte all throughout season one, is in London being an architect, even though that's the opposite of what he said he was doing. Anyway.
Damn it!
Now, cross off your Austin bingo, because we also learn that a colonel and his regiment will be staying for the summer, and they plan on doing a big old parade when they arrive, because why not? But the exposition doesn't stop there, folks. There's also a new artist in town. His name's Charles Lockhart. The girls are introduced to him. He is traipsing too early in the morning. He's traipsing around town in a sarong, so you know he's like super artsy and rebellious. This intimidates Allison, who has never left the village and insists they need to get better clothes if they're going to attract a rich husband this season. Charlotte tells her that this is not what she wants, but will Allison listen? Of course she won't.
Of course not. Allison and Charlotte head to Sanditon's fancy new tea rooms, where they meet Georgiana. The two besties run into each other's arms and squeal with excitement. It's so stinking cute. During their tea, Georgiana explains that she is leading a sugar boycott so that she may cripple the slave economy. Allison vows never to have sugar again. They then discuss how Georgiana has been besieged by fortune hunters. But alas, she is not the only one trying to evade a proposal. It seems our dear Charlotte is being pressured by her father to accept the attention of Ralph, a Willington farmer. She doesn't seem down for that party, though. Across town, Lady Denham is badgering Tom Parker not to rest on his laurels. Some of the properties may be let, but his grand plan for the town has ground to a halt. Tom says he has learned his lesson from last time and won't proceed without having all the funds in place. Hallelujah, God is real, etc., etc. Except we know
that
promise can't last. Yeah.
Can't last. So after their tea, the new girl gang of Ali, Lottie, and George decide to do something insane, if you ask me, and they head on down to the regiment's camp. Just walk right on in there. Thankfully, Charlotte's there to display some excellent common sense.
Can't say I've ever understood the appeal that soldiers are meant to hold for our sex.
Because they are brave and noble and heroic and frequently handsome.
Doubtless some are. Yet I cannot help thinking those qualities are conferred on anyone in a red coat, regardless of what true character lies beneath.
Someone's been reading her Austin. They ambush a conveniently shirtless Colonel Lennox and his aide, Captain Fraser. It becomes very obvious that Colonel Lennox is flirting with Charlotte, which delights Allison because at this point she's willing to throw her sister at just any old man that comes along. Okay, so back in Sanditon Town, Lady Denham and her niece Esther are walking when they encounter a baby in a pram. Esther looks visibly moved. Lady Denham, in her typically abrasive manner, asks her why she isn't pregnant after 9 months of marriage. Esther explains that she's visiting Sanditon while her husband's away in hopes of recuperating following a miscarriage the previous month. Esther has season one fave, Dr. Fuchs, visit her that afternoon, and she explains that her previous doctors told her it would be fatal for her to try again.
Dr. Fuchs warns her that he could give her every elixir under the sun, but there just might not be a cure. Esther, in her desperation, promises to do anything it takes.
That evening, Allison and Charlotte are in their room preparing for bed. Allison brings up Colonel Lennox again, much to her sister's annoyance. She wants to see her sister happy again. Charlotte sighs and tells her that love is not as simple as she thinks, and the ghost of Sydney Parker lingers over her. Scary ghosts.